They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Joining me on the Commons today is Larry Murphy. Some of you may remember Larry from the last time that he was on. Larry is the very patriotic, retired Air Force guy who put in a 17-inch flag in the flower pot in front of his house. And the world came crashing to an end then. Larry, thank you so much. You're still standing.
But yes, ma'am, loud and clear. Thank you for having me.
You're still standing, and you're still fighting, and it has not been a happy thing. So thank you for joining us today. What's going on in your life?
Well, it started again. They came after me again, and we fought back and say, you know, enough's enough. Everything they have thrown at me, the judge has thrown out. So the only thing left on the table now is me suing them to try to recoup some of the expenses I've had, legal fees every month for 7 years. So it kind of wipes you out financially. And so just trying to recoup that. So they finally set a court date for July the 8th, 2019.
So you've got another year to wait before you get involved, before you go to court.
That is correct.
So yes. What happened in court? You say the judge threw everything out?
Well, over the period, of 7 years, because they just kept coming after me for different things. And they even tried to get a gag order on me so that I couldn't discuss this with the press, what they were doing with
me.
Of course.
And
the judge threw that out.
Good.
So this is the way it stands right now. So the press has picked it up again, and so we're exposing them for all of the things that they've tried to do to me or did. I mean, the time, I'll never be able to recoup that. When I first moved in down there, I had small grandkids who, you know, you want to retire, spend your money and your time with them. And they robbed me of that. That I couldn't make any plans. I didn't know how much more money I had to spend on these people as opposed to spending time and money with my grandkids. And that's the worst thing that happened to me.
Well, you were telling me yesterday when we were talking that they abused you. There's no two ways about it. You were used and abused by the HOA?
Yes.
And the attorney representing the HOA as well?
Yeah, and when they finally set a court date, the opposing attorney resigned. I think their game plan was they were going to outlast me. I remember the first day I walked into my attorney's office 7 years ago, he said, "This is David and Goliath. They've got deep pockets, and they're going to try to, you know, run the clock out. Are you in it for the long run?" And I said, "Yes, I am." So I've stuck it out. I mean, it's getting close to empty, but I think I can hold on for another year.
You know, Larry, a lot of the stuff that you owe them is fines, And and I know I sent you both of the cases, and I'm just going to reiterate this on the air right now in case somebody is listening who's never heard me say this before. There are two cases. One of them is a Virginia case, and one of them is a Rhode Island case that found fining to be unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional in Gilman, Unit Owners Association versus Gilman, which is a 1982 Virginia case. The courts found that fining was unconstitutional. And the reason it's unconstitutional is because the Constitution guarantees you the separation of powers. It's not the same person making the rules, same person finding you in violation of the rules, and the same person punishing you for the rules. You've got a separation, the three branches of government, so that this sort of thing doesn't happen to you at the government level. Does that make sense?
Well, when this thing first started, we quoted the federal law and the state law that says they can't refuse you putting up an American flag.
But here's the thing. The industry will go in and say, yeah, okay, well, I mean, we're patriots and we want everybody to, but we want to be able to control the location of the flag because it might be dangerous. And so that's where they come back. So they've sort of negated the laws.
Yeah, I mean, if I put up a huge flagpole with a ISIS flag or something wild and crazy, okay. But this was like a 17-inch flag in a little flower pot on my front porch that's about 70 feet from the street. You can't hardly see it. And they just made a, excuse the expression, federal case out of it.
No, you're absolutely correct. But we've got to stop this. We've got to stop allowing associations to have that kind of power. And they've got to stop having the power to fine you, because what they did to you is abuse you.
Well, if I would have known what they were doing, they fined me $100 a day, up to $1,000, and of course I didn't pay it. So what they did without telling me, my dues were automatically deducted from my bank account, and they started diverting my dues to pay the $1,000 fine without telling me. So after 4 months, I get a letter, they're putting a lien on my property because I'm not paying my dues.
Yeah.
And if I thought legally they had to advise you that if they're diverting your funds. And then they publicize to people, it has nothing to do with the flag. He's a deadbeat. He doesn't pay his, hadn't paid his dues, which was a lie.
Right.
And lost some friends over that. They believe what they said.
Yeah, and they do. And that's what they do. They'll divide and conquer. I know it's old-fashioned, but write a check and put on the check that this is to go for your dues only.
Exactly. I learned my lesson.
And make a copy. And I'm telling you this, but you've already learned your lesson. But I'm also telling people who are listening.
Sure.
Because they're going to get caught in the same trap. But make a copy of that because you don't get your checks back anymore.
Yeah, once you set that up and they start deducting and you... Yeah. I called the bank and I said, I want to stop this. Well, we can't stop it because it's in there. Yeah. And it took me a half a day to get that squared away. I'll never do that again.
Close the bank account. I mean, just close down the bank account. That's the only way you're going to get rid of it.
Well, that's what I told them. I said, either you stop paying this thing or I close out the account. And they put me on connection with the vice president and recorded the conversation and everything else. I mean, I did it, but it was one pain in the tail to do.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, if you go ahead, it's simple, it's easy, here's the assessments, and you just go ahead and take it out, and we won't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
But, yeah. you know, you never get a bill, you never get an accounting for what's going on. And as you discovered, they weren't applying that. See, if you sent in a check and you said to be applied to my dues only, then it could have been a Fair Debt Collections Practices Act because they're not allowed to divert that. But since it's so easy. That's why they're pushing for this. They don't want to be accountable.
True, that's true. It's just, you know, for them to wait, do that for 4 months without telling me, and then all of a sudden, shazam, you know, you're in the rears, you're a deadbeat.
Yeah.
And they sent out an email to all the people in the neighborhood that has this fine, has all of this has nothing to do with the flag. It's because he's not paying his dues.
Yeah.
And trying to go around and explain what that's not exactly true to everybody in the neighborhood, you're not going to do it. So I lost some friends over it.
You didn't lose any friends. If they were your friends, they'd have stuck with you.
Well, that's what I hoped, but these were borderline friends. Let's put it that way.
They weren't your friends, Larry. If they were your friends, they'd have stuck with you. And you know what? What goes around comes around. They'll end up in the same position at some point.
That's true. That's true.
And they're not your friends. I wouldn't lose any sleep over that.
It just got unbearable out there. They just kept putting me under a magnifying glass, and every little thing I did, they'd come after me on. And I knew it, and people told me the same thing, my family, that, you know, if you win this one, they're going to come with something else.
Yeah.
And it's going to go on forever.
Yeah.
That's when I had to take a tremendous loss to get out of there, but it was worth it getting out of there.
I'm so glad that you're telling your story, because so many people are afraid of telling their stories. They're afraid that their family's not going to love them anymore. They're afraid they're going to lose friends. You're not going to lose real friends.
That's
put that out of your mind. If you've got some flaky person that you know, an acquaintance, and they're going to shun you, good riddance to bad trash.
Yeah, that's fair-weather friends.
Yeah, I mean, they're going, you don't need them. You really and truly don't need them. There are too many people who will stand by you.
Yeah, I lost a ton of money in most of my retirement. But when I was working, I was with a dental company, and one of my accounts was calling on VA hospitals. And when you go in there and see what these men and women gave up, arms and legs and everything else, I'm sure they would give their last penny to have that back. So this is the least I can do to show my respect for them and the thank you. Like I tell them, it's a small flag, but it stands for a big thank you for what they do for me and the people I love.
But Larry, it's your home.
Mm-hmm.
It's your home. It's not just the bricks and mortar. It's your home. You should be allowed to put a flag up.
True.
You know, and that's, you know, I don't want to make excuses for them, and I don't want to give, it's your home. That's it, pure and simple. Get out of the way. It's not harming anything. It's not hurting anyone. It's not dangerous.
True.
It doesn't have to look like every other house in the neighborhood.
That's true. Yeah, I also lost a lot of friends there on the street that moved out before I did, because they started getting harassed every little nitpicking thing that they could come up with. Like when I moved in there, there wasn't a flag or a Christmas light in the whole neighborhood, and that's something I always did, put up Christmas lights. So I had to. It was a condo, so we owned from the walls in, nothing on the outside. So I put Christmas lights on my van, and they came after me. You know, you can't do that. They sent the Jacksonville City Police to my door Christmas Eve.
You're kidding.
And the policeman said, look, we have absolutely no authority to come in here and enforce their rules. He said, but they have been calling and calling and calling. He said, this way, we'll show them a report, we made the call, and don't bother us anymore. But that's the way they did. They just kept calling, and finally they had to send somebody out. And he said, you know, Merry Christmas, and left.
He didn't ask you to take the lights down.
No. Well, he couldn't. Like he said, he has no authority to enforce their rules.
No, he doesn't.
So, but they had to do it to shut them up because they were just going on and on and on. And he said, well, we got better things to do Christmas Eve and come out here and tell somebody to take down Christmas lights. But I put them on the van. I hooked it up to my car battery. I could ride around the neighborhood. I had the same thing on my golf cart. Could ride around. I had Santa Claus on top of it. And people would come down to my place in the evening because it was the only place on the street that had Christmas lights. And I had the inside of my garage decorated with lights, too. And they'd come down with their chairs and their adult beverages. And had a good old time.
And you'd spend Christmas together. That's neat.
Exactly. Yeah.
And isn't that what community's all about, Larry?
Well, that's what I thought. There was a lady that came down about 2 weeks after Christmas, and she came up in the driveway with a bag, and she said, you're Larry, aren't you? I said, yeah. She said, well, I brought my mother here from a nursing home in the evening, and every time we came by here, she would say, slow down. I want to see Larry's lights. And she said she passed away shortly thereafter, but you brought a smile to my mother's face. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And she gave me a bottle of wine. That made it worthwhile.
See,
I appreciate it.
See, that's your friend. That's the real friend. Those are the true friends. Not the ones who won't talk to you because, oh, gosh, who knows why. But those are your true friends.
Yep. I just enjoyed the Christmas lights, and they weren't bothering anybody. It's not like they were spotlights or anything. And
you know what? The courts have found them to be, a First Amendment right.
Uh-huh.
And you're celebrating your right to free speech, basically. It's
true.
They're interfering with your religion. They're interfering
exactly.
with your free speech. They're interfering with everything.
My whole life.
They are. You know, Larry, yesterday when I talked to you, I was so furious. After I got off the phone with you, I was incensed. I wished that I had been down there with you.
I appreciate that.
I wished that I had been there when the HOA attorney wanted your medical records.
Mm-hmm.
I would have told her to take a flying leap. I would have asked to see her medical medical degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm in there and I'm say anything about the law, they're going to accuse me of practicing law without a license. How is
mm-hmm.
it that this bimbo can
mm-hmm.
look at your... I'm so upset that you gave them to her. I'm so upset that they spent so much time going through your medical... That's private. They have no right to that.
Well, they deposed my doctor, and they had 10 years of my medical records. And we went in to depose the doctor, and we said, you know, we had about 20, 15 minutes worth of questions. And they said, we have 420. What they did, they went through every time I saw the doctor. Well, what was this for? Think he should be in psychiatric care. They kept going back to that. And as opposed to them taking 30 minutes, we were there almost 3 hours going through. And they would come up and they said, well, Dr. Bork, do you remember in 2014 your 2 o'clock appointment with Larry? And he said, no. And then they would read what he wrote in there. And really got obscene. And then when it was our turn, my attorney said, Dr. Bork, did this affect Larry's health? And he said, absolutely.
Oh, I like that, because you know what? There's a Dr. Gary Solomon, who's a psychiatrist, who's written papers about how living in an HOA is hazardous to your health.
Oh, yeah. your bank account.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, and the stress. But I'm glad your doctor said that. I'm glad your doctor said that because, you know, that's outrageous. But for anybody listening out there, I mean, it's too late for Larry. I wish I'd known. I would have been down there. I would have been down there
that.
With boxing gloves on, not to protect, not to protect the woman, but to protect my poor old arthritic hands. But I should have boxed the hell out of her. But you know, there's a law. You are entitled to privacy. You do
True.
Not
That's
have
what
to,
I thought.
You do not have to provide your medical records. So anybody out there going through this horror of HOA living, and that's all it is a horror, it's a disaster. And if you are asked, and I've heard from so many people that they want my medical records, they cannot have your medical records. Tell them to go fly a kite because they're not getting their hands on your medical records.
Well, they've asked for a bunch of stuff on, and we figured, well, okay, we'll give you everything you want. It'll go away. But they've robbed me of like almost 7 years of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I couldn't plan anything. I couldn't financially couldn't know how much I could spend on my grandkids. And it just, that's something that can never be replaced.
No, it can't. It can't. And this Dr. Gary Solomon also, at his own expense, put up these billboards all over Las Vegas saying
wow.
Living in an HOA is hazardous to your health.
Yes, it is, and to your bank account.
Yeah, but he's more the doctor, not a finance guy, but he's more the doctor, and he's looking at this, and he's saying you can't do that. But he's written a book, and I'm going to have him, I talked to him not too long ago, he's going to come back on again, but he's written an e-book that is available online for free, and you can, it's a really, really good book.
Good.
And it's got pictures, and it's got videos, and it's got all kinds of things, and it explains what happens to your body when you're in an HOA. You know what? You might want to download that, and you might want to use it in your lawsuit against the HOA. And I hope you win that one.
I hope you win that one
so much.
Well, like I tell people, the flag never loses.
No, the flag. Nope, the flag is the flag, and the horror of what's happening is ridiculous. But, Larry, this isn't about the flag. This isn't about the flag. It's about what the flag represents.
True.
Your rights. The flag is a symbol, but the flag represents your rights.
Mm-hmm. That's why it never loses.
And that's what this is all about. I mean, they're just going to go after the silliest things.
True. Oh, yeah, I can give you hours of stuff that they did just nitpicking me and not anybody else. And it just got unbearable.
So they were fining you $100 a day, huh?
They fined me $100 a day up to $1,000.
And that's authorized, that's allowed
by the state.
Florida law.
Yeah, $1,000 is the most they can fine you.
They should not be able to fine you one penny.
That would be even better.
They should not. Who the hell are they to fine you?
And they said also the law here is they can divert your funds to pay for the fine, but they have to notify you, and these people didn't, and that's how they ran the meter up that I was behind so they could put the lien on mine and foreclose on my house.
And they should not be able to divert the money. I mean, you're paying your assessments. You should pay your assessments. That's it.
Yeah.
They can take the fines and they can run it up a flagpole and salute it all they like, but that's all it's worth.
Well, I guess the thing that really gets me is the first time I did that, the builder was still building out there, and they started getting bad press and everything, and the builder settled and for $10,000. Every single penny of that went to my attorney. I didn't get a penny.
Yeah.
And so we all signed all these legal documents. This was it, never to be brought up again. Done deal. And then when the neighborhood took over, made their own HOA, they came up with these different rules and started all over again. Same pot, same dirt, same flag, and did the $1,000. Because the first one, you know, they gave my attorney $10,000 and said I don't have to pay the $1,000, which I wasn't going to pay anyway. But for them to just to start all over again, some people, and they came up with these rules of what could go in a flower pot. And it just, like, it's 55 and older neighborhood. Like, we're out of control. And some people out there said, well, they just made up that new thing. And a lot of people out there started calling it Larry's Law. Just, you know, it was just towards me to get rid of that flag because they don't think it should be there. And I bucked them, and I didn't roll over and play dead. And nobody has done that to them again. I had one interview, they asked me, well, a closing thing, do you have anything to say? And I said, yeah. If anybody on that board told me they were in the military, I would have to ask them which side.
That's pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty bad. But it's so petty, and it's so small, and it's so stupid. I can't think of any other way to describe it. And the people who would do this are petty, small, and stupid.
Pretty much.
There's so much going on in the world that they could be contributing to if they have all this free time. But wandering around with a clipboard in hand so they can harass you is... It's a waste of time. That's idiotic.
Yeah, my girlfriend was living out there at the time, and she got a violation letter, said her garage door was open for an extended period. We hadn't figured that one out yet either.
They come up with such idiotic stuff.
I know last time we went through this, we sent a letter to... I'm living in Florida, to all our representatives in Washington and our representatives in Tallahassee, state capital. I got, of all of those letters, I got two responses. I won't mention a name. The one the Congress in Washington sent back and said, you just need to contact the veterans group, period. And then the one in Tallahassee that responded, he said, I can't help you because you're not in my district. So he's for the flag if it's in his district, but if it's outside, I can't vote for him. So, you know, have a nice day. I'm just really shocked that some of these politicians would not, you know, show a little respect and support for somebody who's trying to display the flag, but nothing. It was really heartbreaking.
They're there to make money. I mean, they're there to make money. My congressman is there. He's just going to continually get elected. Jerry Conley doesn't respond to emails, doesn't respond to anything. I sent him emails wanting to know why we were funding ISIS. And, well, we were, because we started that war in Syria, and we were sending money to the moderate rebels, which really was another name for ISIS. And I said, why are we doing that? And he wouldn't respond. Then I ended up on his mailing list, and he kept sending me these emails wanting money.
Sure.
And I sent him an email, and I said, why are we funding ISIS? And to that email address, and he ignored it. And so then he sent me another email, and he wanted money. I said, why? Because you're doing such a brilliant job as it is now? You think you deserve yet another term? And he took me off his mailing list.
Oh, it's disappointing when all they want is either your money or your vote. When you ask them for something, oh, no, 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 no.
He did.
Very disappointing.
He did respond to something else that, another question I sent him. But I send him questions just to find out what he's going to do, if he's still alive or not, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's improving around here. You still got a pulse, babe?
Yeah, that was very discouraging. I'll be honest with you. That was just...
It is discouraging. It absolutely is discouraging, which is why I make a point of going out and meeting candidates and talking to them.
Sure.
And finding out who they are and what they truly believe in, before I vote for them.
Yeah, I don't blind vote either. I got to know something about them.
But, now a lot of people think that it's more of a popularity contest or a beauty pageant or, if it's a woman, then you're a woman, you have to vote for them. What does that mean? I mean, that's as idiotic as it comes, as it gets.
Yeah, it's bad I always found out it was bad if I was trying to vote and they got five names on there and I don't know any of them. I know when we have to vote for judges down here, I'll call my attorney and say, you know all these people, which ones? But I don't vote because it's a man, woman, or whatever. Got to know a little something, or I'll leave it blank. Because if I just pick out a number, a name, it could be real bad.
Well, they're appointed here, so the judges are appointed here, so I don't get to vote on them, but... I do go to court, and I do sit in on cases that have to do with HOAs if I know about them.
Oh, okay. Can mark your calendar for July the 8th, 2019.
July the 8th, that's going to be in Florida, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an excuse to come down to Jacksonville.
I don't need an excuse. I'll be... you know what? Jacksonville, maybe. You never know. You never know. Keep me posted.
I can do that. Unless they come up with an offer, which is mind-boggling to me that they hadn't said something in 7 years to make me go away. Just, I don't know whether they've even advised their insurance company that they've been doing this. If they had an insurance company, probably say, hey, if we'd have known about this 7 years ago, we could have settled.
Larry, when did you move out of the development?
I've been in this house here 3 years.
And they're still harassing you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what are they harassing you about now?
Well, the last one was probably 4 weeks ago that we set a date to go for the judge to set a date for the trial. And we get in there, and my attorney says, I don't know why we're here. We've answered everything, and we want to set a court date. And opposing counsel said, in 2014, we asked for this information, and you didn't give it to us. And my attorney said, we had that estoppel letter that I moved out of there. Everything was paid, taken care of. Otherwise, I couldn't sell the place. And the judge says, you're right, but they requested it, so it has to be answered. So we had to file another motion, we're withdrawing this. They were just using it as a cash cow, and they just running the meter. But, I mean, they could have said, you didn't answer it, forget about it, let's set a court date. But, no, they just want to keep going on and on. And then right after that, that's when opposing counsel resigned from that law firm. So start all over again.
I think I think it's Maryland that passed a law capping what an attorney, an HOA attorney, can charge and get.
Ooh, that would be nice. Cut down on a lot of it.
I think it's sort of very narrowly defined, but if you're going to get involved in any kind of legislative activity, that might be something you might want to look at. It's just capping it, because look at and you're a perfect example of what they do and how they use you as a cash cow.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was obvious what they were doing.
And if there's a cap on the maximum they could charge you, that a lot of that would go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I still
I
still think a lot of this stuff has got to stop.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, going through this. And like when I talked to my attorney the first time, he says, this may go on for a couple of years. And he had no idea it was going to be 7 years. I have the largest file in his office. Things about a foot and a half tall, all of this stuff, back and forth, back and forth. And, of course, every time you file something, the meter's running, and that's what they're after.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what they'll do is they'll go to the HOA, the board members, and mm-hmm. they'll advise them to run these lawsuits.
Sure.
And Absolutely. When the association says, oh, we can't afford it, they say, don't worry about it. We'll get it from the homeowner. So they go, okay. So go ahead. Not a problem. We don't have to account for all this money we're spending. We're just going to bleed the homeowner for it.
Exactly. That's going to be a real reality check when they, if they have to assess these people. If I win a couple of bucks out of this thing, I'd like all the money I've poured into it replaced. And of course, they can't give me the time that I've wasted over 7 years fighting these people.
No.
In the trial, that'll be 8 years.
Yeah, so that's time. But you should get paid for that.
Oh, gosh, I hope so.
You should get paid for that.
It's been tough.
And you should take your grandchildren and go. They're probably a lot older now.
Oh, yeah, they're in their 20s now, so they're at the age where the old man is just too old and decrepit in history to really spend hardly any time with. When they were small, they wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's when I couldn't. So I missed that window. And that rips my heart out that I didn't have the time with them and spend the time and the money with them instead of legal fees and harassment. It hurts whenever I think about it.
So how many grandkids?
Three,
and they're all in their 20s.
Yeah, well, one's 19.
Well, yeah, close enough. Close enough for government. Close enough for HOA work, right?
There you go. Yeah, you got to keep smiling, or y'all be sitting around crying all day, which won't solve anything. So.
Well, every time I call you, I ask you how you were, and you say, I'm amazing, I'm going to get better. And you're always so upbeat and so upbeat, energetic and upbeat. And
every morning you have a chance to. I say, I'm going to be happy or I'm going to be sad, and I always pick happy.
You always
takes less time and effort, so I always pick the happy.
Well, I'm really glad. That's your best revenge is to be happy.
True.
Is to be happy, and I do want to thank you for getting your story out there.
I appreciate what you do.
I know that it takes a lot of time and energy, and you have to relive this, and you keep talking about it, but what you're doing is really educating people.
I hope so. I don't want anybody to have to go through this.
But people need to understand. I hope that, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at one of the articles, and your attorney, I'm quoting your attorney here, HOAs are there to maintain the integrity, peacefulness, and serenity. And this HOA has done anything but that, says Saris.
True.
Please, mm-hmm. please explain to your attorney that that is the big lie that HOAs want you to believe. They're not there to maintain the integrity, the peacefulness, or the serenity of HOAs. They're there to give local municipal governments a free pass on tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of all the money you pay in property taxes and
True.
Ask yourself, what do you get back? If you go to your local municipal government and you ask them for help dealing with the idiots in your neighborhood, they're going to tell you that their client is the association, not you.
Well, that's true.
Not you. And no, they'll tell you that. You are not their client. You're just going to put the tax in. So your attorney needs to understand that, because all he's doing is just reinforcing this lie.
I just want it to be over. I know they finally set up one of those GoFundMe things to help with some of my legal fees, and which I appreciated.
So it's up there under Larry Murphy?
Yeah. Just Larry Murphy flag, or just my name, and I think I've got $500 in there, which is something. You know, every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps. Better than sending it to the candidates who are running, because they're not going to help you a whole lot.
True. I know where this money would go to. There, you have no idea. Probably go to the Bahamas for the week or something.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Are you going to get, once you've got this settled, are you going to get involved in any way to try and get people to understand exactly what it is that you've been through? Because a lot of homeowners are trying to fix HOAs, and they're just not even in the ballpark. You can't fix HOAs. You just have to strip them of a lot of rights. I mean, the first thing you have to do is strip them of the right to fine you.
True. Yeah, I mean, anyway, I could help. Like I say, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. But a lot of the rules come out of the state of Florida, what the HOAs can and cannot do. And it would have to go through legislation here.
Which is exactly why you need to educate the... In your story, I mean, all you have to do is tell your story, Larry. Educate the legislators, because they're getting bought and paid for by the industry attorneys, the lobbyists, using your money.
Uh-huh. That's true.
They're going and saying, we're here, we represent the homeowners, and this is what the homeowners want. They want to be fined. And the legislators go, oh, okay. So that's going to cost you so much. And you know, they cross their palms with some gold, and away
sure.
we go.
Well, I really respect what you're doing. You're definitely enlightening a lot of the people out here that, telephone's gone crazy, is you're enlightening all of the people all over. I don't know how far your radio station goes, but
we're global. We're global because we're on the internet. So you can be out in the middle of Timbuktu, as long as you've got a connection. You can tune in and you can listen, and you can go to my podcast, and it'll be there, and it'll be there for years.
That's great. You're doing some great work there, enlightening people all over the world about what they can do. Otherwise, you know, like myself, I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought it'd be real short and sweet, but then you get people that want to drag it on for 7 or 8 years, and that gets intense. So the more people that are educated, the less trouble they're going to get into, thanks to you.
Well, you know, I wish I could reach everyone, but it's really the people like you who tell your stories. It's the attorneys who come on and give us the, you know, talk to us about the laws and what to look for. I've got some great attorneys who will come on and give and, you know, talk about the legal aspects, where to look to find out what the association can and cannot do. Believe it or not, associations will come up with rules that they have no right to come up with.
True. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if there's anything in the governing documents that allow them to decide what you can have in your flower pot. Again, you're a condominium, so that's a little bit different.
Sure.
But I would always start off by asking them to cite their authority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where's your authority to do this? If you go to most governing documents, it'll say that the board members have the right to adopt and enforce rules and regulations.
Correct.
Pertaining to the common areas.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll translate that into walking into your bedroom and deciding whether or not you've got the right kind of sheets on your bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or whether you've got the right kind of reading material on your bedside table.
Yeah. They just weren't used to somebody standing up to them. They just make up a rule and, you know, that's it. You can.
But do they have the right to do the rule? I mean, I know it's a condo and all of that is common area, but there is such a thing as limited common area.
Right. That's what mine was. The driveway, nobody can park in there but me. My front porch is limited common area because nobody can come sit on my porch or put stuff on there. And it just seemed like a little small flag that stands for a big thank you should not go 7 years in litigation.
And that's insane. That's absolutely insane. What about who maintains the flower pot? Is it yours? So you bought the flower pot, you put it there.
Correct. And it was there for years. And then something happened. People asked me, well, where did it start from? And I said, to be honest with you, I don't remember. It was something our country did or some servicemen got killed or something. And so that's when I just put the flag in there to show my support. And it just mushroomed into 7 years of harassment. But I'd do it again. So, it's on my front porch here with flags in it. Same pot, same dirt, same plant. Flag never loses. It's going to stay there.
But you don't own the unit anymore. You managed to get away from that nonsense.
Oh, I took a serious bath. I lost a couple $100,000 on that place just to get out of there. I had to.
So the flag is it still in that flower pot over there, whoever bought your unit?
No, it's in front of my house right here on the porch.
So you brought
wherever
it with
I go.
You.
Exactly.
So you brought it with you. It's not there anymore.
So, correct. But like I say, the flag never loses. It's going to stay in there as long as I can breathe.
Well, I certainly hope so. And I want you to know that a lot of people do support you and do support that. I really hope that... your story, you need, I mean, I'm glad you're telling your story, but people like stories and
mm-hmm.
people learn from stories before people read, before all that. You know, the way you passed on history and the way you passed on morals and the way you taught your kids was through stories. And we still
mm-hmm.
have these, you know, you just remember them by rote. And I'm going to tell your story, not just on the radio, but I will be telling your story around here, and I want people to know and understand exactly what goes through. But it's your story that's going to teach people. It's your story that's going to open eyes and hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew some. They had some lawsuits, people putting out flags, but they were the big ones, hanging over a balcony or whatever. But
it doesn't matter. It's not a
small thank you flag.
It's not the flag. It's not the flag. It's your right. That's what, you know, they're using the flag to go after your rights. It's not the flag. I mean, you could take a flag and put it in your window, and then they're going to come up with something and say, oh, you can't put anything in your window.
Right, exactly.
There was a guy who used to live here. He moved to Florida. A retired PSYOPs guy. Really funny. He he put a little yard sign out as people drove into the neighborhood. And he said, before you buy in this neighborhood, tune in to On the Commons and listen to On the Commons. And
I love it.
So, I did too. I did too. So then the board got upset, and they said, you can't do that. He said, okay. So he took the sign down, and he put it in his van in the window, and he parked his van so people driving up into the association could see it in his van, in the window of his van. And they didn't like that either. You know,
it's not.
Whatever they did, he said, yeah, okay. And he found something else to do. And he just had them going. And he would call me up and have me in stitches. Shoo, you won't believe what I did today. So then he put in a shortwave radio station up in his attic. He says, tune in to... And he had the call letters. And there he'd go through and he'd say, if you're buying in here, you've really got to tune into On the Commons on Saturdays at 2 to 3. And here's all this. And the association just got absolutely livid. He eventually sold his place and he moved to Florida. I kept telling him, you've got to come on. You've got to tell people what you're doing. You've got to explain what's happening over here. And you've got to get people to do this. So have fun with what's going on.
Sure.
And his wife wouldn't let him do it.
Ooh.
So when he moved to Florida, he sent me an email. And he said, all right, Shu, I've moved. My wife says I can come on and talk about it. So again, you know, instead of doing that, have fun with it. Just move things around and change things around.
Just gotta keep smiling.
You gotta keep smiling, and you gotta keep. There's one of the stories that I love, and then I'm gonna let you go. But there's a woman who bought this huge dinosaur, and she put it in her front yard in Texas, and everybody loved the dinosaur in the yard, and they kept coming up and saying, "Can we take pictures with the kids?" And so, of course, the HOA sent her a letter, and you've got to have it done in 3 days. And she says, okay. So people would come, and can we take a picture of the dinosaur with our kids? I wish I had one in my yard. She says, well, you can. Just donate $50 to the charity of your choice, and I'll bring the dinosaur and put it in your yard. So every 3 days, this dinosaur kept moving around the neighborhood.
I love it. I do too.
And so people, you know, the local charities were making money on this, and the HOA was running around every 3 days, you know. dinosaur would move.
Everybody gets a violation letter.
Yeah, but by the time they found the dinosaur in 3 days later and they sent the thing, it was 3 days later and the dinosaur was gone. But another local charity got a $50 donation. She didn't care who.
Yeah.
As long as you donated $50 and she would bring the dinosaur. And I got a call one day from someone saying, I'm sitting here having a cup of coffee and I see these two trucks go by with these dinosaurs in them.
I love it. I love it. Oh, yeah.
So you can absolutely drive them nuts and have fun.
I'm working on it.
And have fun doing it. So don't go what Larry went through, guys. Have fun with it.
You have to.
Drive them nuts. They don't have a sense of humor. Larry, good luck.
Well, I appreciate everything you do, and anything earth-shattering pops up, I'll keep you in the loop.
Yeah, please do, because I really want to know what's going on. And
okay.
And of course, this is going down the road a year, but when your case goes to court, I want you to come on, and I want you to talk about that.
Okay. Glad to. Be happy to. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Larry. Good luck. We're with you.
I appreciate it, Nate. Thanks again.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.